garden existence. Have you ever thought, oh, okay, holy, yes, thank you, Lord. We're going to just stop and pray real quick. Hallelujah. Oh, precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you. And we already know that you are in this place because you are where we are. And your word says, Lord, that you inhabit the praises of your people. You live in our praise and in our worship of you, Father. And when we come to you in praise and we come to you in worship, you are there. When we come to you in prayer, Father, your word teaches us that you are in the midst of us. Lord, we just thank you for that. We thank you for your presence here tonight. Holy Spirit, Lord, I just ask that you stir the hearts of your people this evening. Lord, not those that are sitting here, but also those that are watching online. Lord, we just ask that you stir your people's hearts. Stir the deep places, oh God. Lord, stir them up. Set them on fire all over again for your glory, all over again in love with you, Father. Lord, let them just fall deeper and deeper in love with you as revelation and knowledge come to them, oh God. And Lord, we just give you the praise and the glory and the honor. And Father, I just surrender to you. I surrender my mind, my will. I surrender my desires. I surrender my hopes. I surrender it all to you, Lord. I surrender my mouth to you, Father. I surrender all things to you, precious Savior, tonight, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Okay, so have you ever thought what it would have been like to be in the Garden of Eden? Have you ever thought about that? I have. I have thought about that. And I would really like to box Adam and Eve's ears if I had that opportunity. But aside from that, I've thought about it. Being in the Garden of Eden. Oh my gosh, the perfect place. Being in that place. You know, the Garden of Eden was created for man. It was created for us. He created the earth, the sun, the moon, the stars. He created all of that for us. He didn't need it. He didn't need a sun in the sky and a moon in the sky to light the night up. He didn't need the oceans divided from the land. He didn't need that. He did all of that for you and me. And then he planted man in the garden to oversee the care, to be there in fellowship with him day and night. Oh, that excites me. That idea of living in that place, of living in the perfect place. Oh, I've thought about that. Oh, haven't you? Have you ever said, Lord, I wish I would have lived in Jesus' time so I could have seen Jesus. Or Lord, I wish I could have been there on the ark. Or Lord, I wish I could have been in the Garden of Eden. Oh, I wish I could have looked upon the tree of life. Oh, Lord, I wish I could have been there and walked with you in the evenings. Oh, Lord, I wish I could have been there when Peter denied you. I'd have stood up. I'd have stood up, Lord. I wouldn't have done that. I would have prayed with you in the Garden of Gethsemane, and I wouldn't have fallen asleep. Have you ever had any of those thoughts? Tell me it's not just me. Right, and we've thought, oh, I believe if I could have just seen one real miracle, if I could have just seen Jesus do one miracle, that would have been enough for me. Oh, I'd have never have doubted again. I'd have never have doubted again if I could have just seen one of his miracles. If I could have just been there when he fed the 5,000, that had done it for me. Right? Oh, if he'd have just put Janine in the Garden of Eden, it would have solved everything. Everything. I'm positive. Or not. So, let's go to Genesis chapter 1. Verse 26 and 27. I know these aren't new verses. I know we all know these verses. If we don't, we should. And you don't have to confess to not. It's his word. We should know it. That's right. It says, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. Woo! I don't know about you, but that excites me. I wasn't just some 100,000 millionth model down the line. I was created from the original. I was created to be conformed to the original. I was created in the image of God. I was created with a body, a soul, and a spirit. I was created with a mind to divine wisdom and knowledge. I was created with a mind that could make thought. I was created with a body that moved and that could work. I was created in the image of God. You were created in the image of God. His reflection. Woo! You know, when my children were little, when Anna was a baby, everybody called her Scott Baby because she looked so much like my husband. You just knew whose kid she was. Oh, Scott Baby. Right? And we should look exactly like God. They should, woo, God Baby. Woohoo, God Baby. Ho-ho, that's a God Baby over there. Because we were created in His image. Whoo, that's exciting to me. Oh, I wasn't just the floor model. You know, I wasn't just a cheap copycat. You know, in Mexico, you can get any mark, any brand of anything you want. Gucci, Coach, no problem. And you can afford it all. I wasn't that. I wasn't the knockoff. You were the original, created in the image of the original. His mark, His stamp. Woo, there is value in being created in His image, in being His creation, an original Bruce, an original Joan. Woo, hallelujah, an original Jeanette. There is power in being an original creation, hallelujah. Woo. And at this time, we were created in His likeness, body, soul, and spirit, without sin. There was no sin in us at creation. Hallelujah. We lived perfectly innocent. Do you remember what it was to be innocent? Whew, what it was like to be holy and completely innocent. Completely trusting. No fear, no stress, no worry. No hate. No anger. No pride. Woo! No selfishness. No insecurity. Do you remember what it was like to have no insecurity? Have I ever been without insecurity? Wow, that was the life, right? The perfect relationship with our Creator. And how many times have I thought, Eve, you just ruined it all. Oh, if I'd have been there, I'd have not made that mistake. Or how many times have we thought, Lord, I wish it was like that now. Hallelujah. You know, the word even said that in the cool of the evening, God came and walked and talked with them face to face. Can you even imagine? You know, we can't even see the face of God right now. It would just kill us. His glory is so beautiful and so awesome and powerful and strong that we couldn't even gaze upon His face. But Adam and Eve, they walked and they talked with Him in the cool of every evening. What a joyful moment to look forward to that moment where He came to your place, where He put you and established you, and He walked and talked with you. Oh, I have thought, oh Lord, I'd love it if You'd just walk with me and hold my hand and I could just gaze into Your face. Oh, Lord, to have that kind of a relationship with You. To be in that place with You, Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Can you imagine what life was like in the garden? I mean, there was no toiling. There was no stress, no worry, no hassle. Everything you ate was right there. You just went and picked it when you were hungry and ate it. Hallelujah. There was no fear. You didn't have to fear about somebody shooting you. You know, getting caught in the crossfire. You didn't have to be afraid of getting mugged. You know, I was talking to Angie. We're getting ready to make a trip to Mexico. And I was talking to Angie, and she was asking about when we're coming and how we're going to go. And we've decided that we're going to have a taxi from Mexico come pick us up at the airport and take us back to Mexico. And it has to be someone we know, because the crime has gotten so high in Mexico right now that it's just outrageous. And Angie was telling me, she said, sis, my son's sister's cousins were coming home the other night. They live close to where they're living. And a group of 10 people jumped them and beat the stuffing out of them. And she said the only thing that stopped them was Angie's son Misa's mother-in-law used to be a cop. And she went running out, I imagine, with a gun. That was the only thing that stopped them from destroying the lives of two people. And who knows what they caught. They were regular people. They weren't carrying $1,000. They weren't carrying $1 million. They probably did not even have $100. They were doing it for maybe 500 pesos. Maybe less. And they didn't care about life. There was no value in life. So many people live in fear for their lives nowadays. There was none of that in the garden. You didn't ever have to be afraid. Not afraid you were going to get jumped. Not afraid of what could happen. There was no fear. There was nothing to fear in the garden. And then remember in Genesis chapter 2, verse 23, you don't have to go there, Mike. Adam called woman bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. When God created woman and presented her to Adam, he didn't look at her and say, show me your teeth. Turn around, I want to see how she walks. I want to see how she moves. Can I try her out first? You know, just give me a couple of months to see if we go together good enough for a year, you know. Can we just cohabitate for a little while and see if I really like her? There was none of that. When he woke up and saw Eve, he said, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, she was taken from my body, she's mine. Ooh, I want to feel that way. I want to feel my husband feels that way. There was no doubt. There was no questioning. It was just bone of my bone. And he received her with great joy and love. Oh, to feel that completely loved, that totally loved, that secure in love. He had no doubts. He had no desire for anyone else. Could you give me a blonde? He looked at her and he thought, she's perfect. And they were perfect. And she was his. She was perfect for him and he was perfect for her. They felt no lack. They felt no desire for something else. How many marriages today, people are married a little while and then they just, I don't really love you anymore. I kind of saw this other woman and she kind of does it for me. And I really think I need to be with her now. Or how many men, how many pastors have gone home to their wives and said, you know, I just don't love you anymore. You just don't look like you used to. And, well, I'm leaving you for somebody else. Wow. Adam didn't do that. Oh, no, he looked at her and she was bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Right? Whoo, that's powerful. There was no wishing it was different. There was no feeling like this, might not be love, really. I don't know. I'm not sure this is love. There was no thinking anything different than this was a life relationship. And it was all that it should be. And then in Genesis chapter 2. Oh, this is awesome. God gave Adam a job to do. His second job, but we're not talking about his first job tonight. We're just talking about the job number two. He took Adam and everything that he created, he took it before Adam. And he told Adam, name them. This is yours. Name the animals. You know, if God had said that to me, I'd have said, I can't do that. I mean, what would I name them?
Where am I supposed to get the names from? I mean, it's an exhausting job. I don't think so. It's just too much. No, I really would rather just sing in the garden. I'm really not here to do hard physical labor like naming the animals. No, I think that's not okay with me. What if I just name the ones I like? Would that be okay? I'll pass. I'll take a different job. This wasn't really what I had in mind to do, you know? But Adam didn't do that. And I love it. It said, and he brought them to Adam to see what he could call them. I don't know about you, but to me that implies a little excitement. He was wondering. He was curious. What was Adam going to come up with? What was he going to name these incredible, awesome, unique animals across the face of the earth? What was he going to name them? A peacock. Where'd you get that? A peacock. An elephant. Where do you get an elephant? What makes a cat a cat? And you know, how come it seems that every name he chose for these animals seemed to fit perfectly? I mean, what would a dog be better called than a dog? A barky, taily thing. A growler? But he named all of these animals without complaint. Hallelujah. He did the job that God presented him to do. And God was excited about the job he was doing. And he was excited about what he was going to name these things. Oh, praise the Lord. He didn't make excuses. Oh, I've done that a time or two. Just a couple of times probably. He didn't fight with God. He didn't do any of those things. He simply obeyed. Hallelujah. He obeyed without question, without fight. He had a place. He had a unique purpose. And he simply fulfilled it. He was complete. He was whole and he was fulfilled. They were complete and whole and fulfilled. And their life was filled with purpose and meaning. You know, they didn't go to God in the evenings when he came walking and say, you know, I'm not really happy with how life's going here. I kind of need to go in a different direction. I need some more, you know, me time. I need to kind of find out who I am. He was born knowing or created knowing who he was. He had no self-doubt. He had no confliction in his heart or in his mind who he was. He was Adam, born of God, in the image of God, with a purpose and a calling, and he was happy to fulfill it. Whoa. Hallelujah. Oh, this is my favorite part. And in Genesis 2:25 it says, and they were both naked, and they knew no shame. Nakedness means they were laid bare before each other as well as before God, as well as apparently physically naked. I don't even get undressed in front of my husband anymore. Just saying. Dim the lights, babe. Nope, down. Yeah, out. That's better. Yeah. There we go. Now you nailed it. There was none of that. They didn't even understand what it was to be naked. They didn't feel shame. They didn't feel embarrassment. They had no secrets. How many of us have secrets? Don't raise your hand. I'll just do it for all of us. We all have secrets. And if you sit there and go, not me, I'm going to say, liar, liar. We all have secrets. We all have things that we don't want others to know. Thoughts, desires, dreams, hopes, insecurities, fears. We all have secrets, but they had no secrets. Not between each other, him and her, and not between them and God. How many people nowadays try to keep secrets from God? You would think nobody would. You would think that everybody understands God knows all and God sees all. But that's not how everybody sees it. And people still try to keep secrets from God. But they were naked and they weren't ashamed. They were bare. And there was no fear, no insecurity.
They didn't stand in front of each other and say, I remember when. Yeah. I looked better once upon a time. Yeah, I'm not really quite happy with exactly how all that goes. They didn't look at each other like that. They didn't look at each other and say, oh, yeah, wow. That's a little ugly. They didn't look at each other like that. They looked at each other through eyes of such pure and complete unselfish love because they were looking at each other with eyes how God looked at them, because they were created in His image. And when He looks at you and me, He looks at us through the blood of Jesus, and all He sees is love. All He feels is love. When He looks at me, He doesn't do to me what I do to me when I look in a mirror. Oh, wow. When did that start sagging? Gracious.
I wonder what... Yeah, that's better.
If I stick my chin out like this, that doesn't show so bad. I can walk like that. Yeah. There was none of that. They were complete. They were secure. They were happy in who God had created them to be. Hallelujah. Nothing hidden. No embarrassment, no self-consciousness, no hidden agenda. They didn't want to be anybody other than they were, and they didn't want each other to be anybody than who they were. This is the garden existence, the place of perfection, the place where everybody has been trying to get back to since we were kicked out of the Garden of Eden. This is the place every heart and every soul is searching for. This kind of relationship between the Creator and themselves. This place where they know that they'll be whole and life will be perfect and everything will be as it should be, but they can't find the way back. Where everybody comes to God searching. Everybody comes to God searching. How many people have I heard say to me, if I just knew the purpose of my life, if I just knew why I was created, I'd get on board. I just can't figure out the why. And I'm lost, and I don't know what I'm looking for, and I don't know how to find my way out. Most of us have felt that way at some point or another in our lives. Like, Lord, there's got to be something more, right? There's got to be something bigger than just this. I mean, not that being a wife isn't fulfilling, it is. Not that having children isn't fulfilling, it is. Not that being in a great relationship isn't fulfilling, it is. But my soul, my heart, my DNA screams for something more, for the lack of what it doesn't know, but it's searching for. And that is the garden existence, because we were created from the very, very beginning to be in intimate relationship with God, to be in a perfect relationship between God and us, the Creator and the creation. And we were created in His image to know Him, to love Him, to reflect Him, to show Him. And when we're not doing that, we feel that hole, that nagging place inside of us. And sometimes it can be even people that know God, because we've just kind of grown cold. We've just kind of gotten distance from Him. We've gotten burdened down with the insecurities and the pride and the hate and the unforgiveness. Hallelujah. And we've got burdened down with the toil of life, the duties of life. We've gotten toiled down with what it is to live. And we've become farther and farther and farther from Him until we can't hear Him clearly anymore. We don't see Him and we can't feel Him and we don't understand what the purpose of life is. Why am I here? Why? Why did you leave me on this earth and not take me to you when I was strong, when I knew you, when I was in a good place? Why leave me here in this place? What do I do, Lord? I'm lost and I can't find you. How many times have we been in that place? And our soul, our very DNA is longing for the garden existence, because that's what we were created for. Oh, praise the Lord. And Adam and Eve had it. They had the garden existence. They had the perfect relationship between God and man and woman. And God came and he walked with them and he fellowshiped with them every evening until one fateful day. Hallelujah. And it says in Genesis 3, verses 8 through 11, and it says, and they heard the sound of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And then the Lord called to Adam and he said to him, where are you? So he said, I heard your voice in the garden. And I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. How many times have we gotten afraid of what God was asking us or of where life was taking us and we just ran from God? We ran from him instead of to him because we felt ashamed, because we were embarrassed, because we were suddenly naked before him and we understood nakedness. We knew what it was to be naked and we didn't want him to see us in this condition. We didn't want him to gaze upon our nakedness and know the secrets we suddenly had, because just a day ago we didn't have these secrets. And he said, who told you you were naked? And he knew exactly what had happened. I think on that day when he went walking in that garden, he knew exactly what he was about to find. And ever since that day, man has been striving, conniving, cheating, lying, stealing, robbing, killing, all in search of the garden existence. All in search of the place of perfect fulfillment. All in search of the place of perfect relationship. Oh, hallelujah. I could just imagine the bickering that came after this fateful day between Adam and Eve. Well, if you'd have been a man, you'd have stopped it. I mean, were you not the head? Was I not taken from your body? Was I not bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh, Adam? I can imagine it. I know women really, really well. Oh, I'll bet that man did not have a peaceful night for the next month at least. Do you know what I had to do today, Adam? I had to pick the food and prepare it. It wasn't just there. I had to cook it. Oh. And I can imagine Adam, woman, you are bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Hush. Hush. No more of this attacking me. I am your flesh. You are mine. Submit to me now. I had to go and plow a field today. Thank you, Eve. Thank you for that. The pleasure of naming the animals is no longer in my hands. That job's done. And now I get to plow a field with my hands. Thank you for that. Yes, now you know why I'm grouchy and hungry. Would you just prepare me something to eat, please? I can imagine what those nights might have looked like. Hallelujah. Now they knew. Now they understood what they had done, and they understood everything they had lost. And from the moment they partook of that fruit, fear came rushing in. Shame came rushing in. Worry came rushing in. Strife came rushing in. Regret, hurt, and loss came rushing in. Things, emotions, and feelings they had never, ever experienced before this moment suddenly filled their hearts and their minds. And ever since then, we've been trying to get back to perfect relationship with our Creator. This day changed all of our lives. It changed all of mankind's lives. And we have been searching for that garden existence ever since that date. Hallelujah. But God is so good. He is so good. Even before he sent them out of the garden, he clothed them. He took away their nakedness. He didn't just, like, you know, give them the boot. He clothed them first. He took away their nakedness. He took away their shame. There was a price to be paid, because there's always a price to be paid. There are consequences to our actions. God forgives us irrevocably and completely, but there are consequences for bad actions. Their consequence was the garden existence was over. They were put out of the garden. But before he took them out of the garden, he clothed them. He forgave them. He assured them he still loved them. That is so beautiful. That is so beautiful. I don't know. I think maybe it would have been easier just to wipe them off the earth and start over. You know? Let's just straighten this out from the beginning. But even before that moment, God had a plan for you and I. He had a plan. Oh, and I have this. This is the most exciting part. This excites me. I have news for you. You and I can still have the garden existence. We do not have to find the actual Garden of Eden to have garden existence. Do you know why? Because Jesus came and died in my place. Do you know why? Because when Jesus went to heaven, he sent Holy Spirit. So do you know who walks with me day and night now? Do you know who walks with me in the morning? Who walks with me in the middle of the day? He walks with me in the cool of the evening. And he walks with me in the night. Holy Spirit never leaves me. I am never without his presence. Oh, and that's only because of what Adam and Eve did. It's only because of the road that began taking us down. Because God knew all along what he was going to do. He had to have a reason to send Jesus. He had to have a way to make a way. And he did that. He had a way to make a way. And his name was Jesus. He is the only way. And he has restored all that was taken from you and me when we were expelled out of the garden. He has given us absolutely everything we need for the garden existence here and now. Woo, hallelujah. Do you understand what that means? Do you understand what that means? It means God's presence is with you and I always. We have never a moment where he's not with us. We are laid naked and bare before him, and we no longer have to have shame. We no longer have to live in condemnation, because God took care of that through Jesus Christ. He paid for your condemnation. He paid for your shame. He paid for your guilt. He paid for your sin so you could be in perfect and right relationship with him right now outside of the Garden of Eden. Woo, that excites me. None of this is something I've never heard before. I'm sure you've heard this 1,000 times, but it excites me every time. Romans chapter 6, verse 5 and 7. Hallelujah. Woo, praise the Lord. Says, for if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Simple words. If we came to Jesus and we accepted him as our Savior, we just died to our own sin. And as Jesus was resurrected, after paying the price for your sin, when we accept him as our Savior, we are resurrected out of our sin. We are established to a perfect state. We are established to a garden existence once again. What didn't exist for thousands of years after Adam and Eve came into existence once again through Jesus Christ and the cross and his resurrection. Hallelujah. Woo! Praise the Lord. That perfect existence, you and your Creator exist now, and you have it, whether
you've realized it or not, whether you have accepted it or not, whether you feel it or not, that garden existence, that perfect existence between your Creator and the creation lives in you. Hallelujah. Woo! And that's powerful. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's see, where's that one? Hallelujah. In Romans 6, verses 10 and 11, the word goes on to say this: for the death that he died to sin once and for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. That means what was before the cross, what was before salvation is gone. It's dead. It's buried. And you have been restored in right relationship. You have been restored in perfect relationship. You have been restored to the perfect relationship between Creator and creation. And you can go to Him. You can walk and you can talk with Him without fear. You don't need a priest to take you in anymore. You don't need a priest to ask for your forgiveness of your sins. You can go directly to your Creator. And He is waiting for you. He is waiting for us to come to Him. It's what He wants. He wants to be in communion. He wants to be in fellowship with us day and night and day. Hallelujah. Hebrews 4:13 says, and there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. We can't hide anything from God. As clearly as Adam and Eve could hide nothing from God, nor can we hide anything from God. But the beauty of it is this: there's a perfect relationship in no hidden things. There's a perfect relationship in complete and open honesty. He sees into the heart of you and loves you anyway. How many times we thought, oh, I wish my husband loved me like that. Or I wish I had a friendship like that. That like could see me in all my uglies and still love me. You do have a relationship like that, and it's called Jesus. And He doesn't see your uglies, because once you've become His, your uglies are gone. When He looks at you, He sees beauty. When He looks at you, He sees purpose. When He looks at you, He sees destiny. He sees relationship. Hallelujah. He sees fellowship. Oh, praise the Lord. Perfect existence, perfect relationship has been restored through Christ Jesus. We don't have to wonder what it would have been like in the Garden of Eden. We can live it. We can live in that close of a relationship with the Lord. I don't have to see Him, because I can feel Him. I can feel His presence in this place right now. I can feel His presence when I read my word in my cabin late at night. I feel His presence when I drive in the car. I feel His presence when I worship. And do you know what? I don't need to be where Jesus was to see a miracle, because I am a walking miracle. My dad is a walking miracle. I have seen more miracles than I have fingers and toes together. I've seen His miracles. I don't need to be right there where He was doing it, because I am right there where He's doing it. I see it. I don't need to be on the ark and experience the flood. I don't need that, because I know it happened. That's good enough for me. God said it. I believe it. That's all it is. And I can be in perfect relationship with Him right here in this life. Do you know nothing can crowd the Lord out of my heart if I don't want it to? No amount of busyness, no amount of work, no amount of hardship, nothing can move Christ out of my heart if I don't want Him out. Nothing. Our mindset has to change.
The word talks about having our minds renewed. This is one of the areas we need to have our minds renewed in. He is with us day and night. His power is in us day and night. What we can't accomplish, or what couldn't we accomplish with Jesus by our side? If he was standing here right now, what wouldn't he do for you? Because he is standing right here, right now. His presence is here, alive, living, right now, in you and me. Well, I can't just walk out to the waters and part it. Why not? You know, Moses wasn't the only one to part the waters, right? You know, Elijah parted the waters. Joshua parted the waters. This wasn't a one-time thing that took place once in the Bible. Jesus walked on the water. He didn't need to part it. This is something that happened over and over again. It's not just a one-time thing. That same Jesus is alive today. That same Jesus, all that power, all of the fullness of who he is, lives in you and me. Hallelujah. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23 says, "And he put all things under his feet, and he gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." His fullness fills you and I. His fullness, his glory, his grace, his love, his mercy, his power, his anointing fills you and I. And it lives in us. We have garden existence. We have garden relationship because he and all of the fullness of who he is, all of the fullness of his resurrection power lives in you and I. Resurrection power, praise the Lord. Everything was put into place. There was a shift that took place in the heavenlies and in the earth when Jesus rose again. Oh, hallelujah. And that power lives in you and I. And the only thing that shorts that power or stops that power is you or I. The enemy could not overcome Jesus. Oh, not even with his death could he overcome Jesus. Woo! Not even when he thought he had the victory did he overcome Jesus. Jesus died and he rose again in resurrection power, and that power lives on in you and me today. Oh, hallelujah. We need to now, as the body of Christ, you and I need to rise up in that resurrection power, just like Jesus rose up out of that grave. Woo! Just like he rose up out of that grave in power, you and I need to rise up in that resurrection power that lives in you and me out of the grave. We need to shake off the grave clothes. We need to shake off the sin. Shake off the hate. Shake off the discouragement and the disillusionment. We need to shake off the pain and the hurt. We need to shake off everything that is robbing us of resurrection power, and we need to walk in it. We need to see the body healed and whole. We need to see the people who are lost and broken saved. And the only way that's going to happen is if they see that resurrection power alive and active in you and me. Because we were created in the image of our Creator. We were created to reflect him, to shine him, that others would see him in us and know his power, know his presence, know his love. And that's only going to happen if you and I rise up in that resurrection power and begin to live in it. Hallelujah. God is calling a live church, not a dead church. God is calling a live church. You know, if there's no life in the body, it's just dead. We are alive. The body of Christ is alive. It's a living organism called with a purpose, chosen out of the darkness to be in perfect and right relationship with Jesus Christ, with your Heavenly Father. I am telling you, if you have lack, in your life, if you feel you're missing something, if you feel lost, if you feel distance between you and God, if you feel like you haven't seen Him or you haven't heard Him or you haven't felt Him, I am telling you, He is alive and He is calling to you. He is calling out to you, His creation. He is calling to you to rise up. He is calling you to wake up and live in resurrection power. Woo! He is calling you out of the grave clothes. Hallelujah. And it's time we answered that call. Like Adam answered the call without fear, without doubt, without shame, without condemnation, because we are not who we were. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians, is it 5:17, that we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. We are not who we were. We are created in His image, and perfect relationship has been restored to us. We are no longer identified by our sin, but by the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. This excites me just a little. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's just take a moment and stand before the Lord tonight, please. Whew, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I think I could keep running with this a while longer. But I was once told in Mexico by a pastor, you know, sometimes you got to land the plane. No matter how excited you are about flying it, you have to land it. So we're going to land this plane, praise the Lord. If you've been watching online tonight, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being a part of A New Beginning online. We just appreciate you. I have said this 1,000 times, and I will say it 3 million more. This is the small church with a mega church heart. This is the church you want to be a part of. I'm telling you, these are the people you want to be in fellowship and relationship. This is the place to be. And I just thank you so much for tuning in and being a part of us. Let's just raise our hands and praise the Lord tonight. And after we close and the cameras are closed down, if you want prayer, if you feel like you have been stuck in a place and you can't seem to get out of this place, or if you feel like God is calling you to step into something you don't understand, but you're just like, okay, God, I'm in. I want to pray with you tonight. If you feel like you just can't realize the resurrection power in your life, I want to pray with you tonight. Praise the Lord. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come to you and we just praise you tonight for that resurrection power. And Lord, I just ask you that you would just stir that resurrection power in everyone who has heard this word tonight, oh God, whether here or through the computer online. Doesn't matter, Father. Lord, stir that resurrection power in each of us, Lord. Stir us, oh God. Lord, that we would rise up in the fullness of who Christ is and be His fullness in this earth, oh God. Lord, stir our hearts towards you, Jesus. Lord, that we'd come into the knowledge, not just something we know in our head, but Lord, something we experience day to day, walking with you and talking with you and being in relationship with you and feeling your presence and hearing your voice, oh God. Lord, stir your people for your glory. Stir your people for your purposes. Stir your people, Lord, that we will rise up the body like never before, oh God. And Christ will be seen like never before, because your word says that in the latter days, Lord Jesus said that you will do even greater things than I have done. And Lord, I am ready. I am ready. I am ready, Jesus. Have your way. Have your way in us tonight, precious Father. Have your way in us tomorrow. Have your way in us every second, every minute, every hour of every day, God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. There's a song we played, the Lord put on my heart. We played it at worship on Monday night, and it says, and I'll run to the Father again and again and again. You know, at some point, running to Him became embarrassing and became shameful, because there was a need to keep running again and again. But I don't think we have to be ashamed. I don't think we have to have regret or embarrassment. We can run to Him again and again. We don't have to hide from His presence. We don't have to hide from Him. He wants us to run to Him. He wants us to run to Him. It says, so I run into His presence and I fall into grace. We can fall into that grace. again and again and again. Hallelujah.